Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. My guest today is Pastor Pat McManus. He's a CPN podcast host. His show is Breakthrough to Purpose. I think you'd really enjoy it, particularly if you listen to this show and understand how he teaches breakthrough. I think it'll light you up. And if you haven't found this podcast, again, it's titled Breakthrough to Purpose, you'll want to because the teaching is outstanding. It's just what we all need at a time like this. He's got an advanced master's degree in theology. He's the author of 3 books, Possessing the Mind, Kingdom Influence Through Sonship, and Awakening Reformation. He's also a certified coach, teacher, and speaker with a John Maxwell Organization. And his main focus, and you'll hear that throughout this interview, is to help the church reach their full potential and walk in their God-ordained ministry. He's the founder of the Awakening Reformation Prayer Network, operating under a mandate to connect the churches in the state of Illinois for the purpose of bringing reformation and transformation. That's who he is and what he's up to, but you're really going to catch the man in this interview. I loved every minute of this time I spent with Pastor Pat, and I think you'll be blessed as well. And I think it's going to make you realize how close you are to breakthrough. Here's Pastor Pat. So direct from Chicagoland, I just want to extend a hand of glad fellowship to Pastor Pat McManus, who's also an apostle and a man of God and just somebody I already have fallen in love with. So brother, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity to be with you, Dr. Green, and just to kind of dialogue through and share our hearts together and see what God wants to do as he impacts our culture, our region, our state for the glory of God.
That's all good word. And I know that you've been very busy. We are so excited to host you on the Charisma Podcast Network. You're the host of Breakthrough to Purpose with Pat McManus. And my goodness, what brought you to the place where you could add another thing to your plate and do a podcast?
I had a friend of mine that's actually doing a podcast on you with you right now is Ken Malone. And he called me on the phone and he said, "Pat, why don't you consider doing this? And this might be able to help expand and be able to bring more visibility to who you are and what you're doing up in the Chicago region." So prayed about it and felt it was something that would be an opportunity for us to expand our influence and to be able to see what we can do to help people to understand what it means to walk in a breakthrough mindset, to be able to accelerate into what God's truth is, and to be able to move forward in the power of his name.
Well, we're going to focus on breakthrough here in a minute, but I want to make sure I do a good job of understanding your day-to-day, and because some people have more difficulty understanding breakthrough because they only look at it from their own perspective. And so if we get a bigger perspective on you, for example, the role you play as senior leader at Kingdom Impact Center, your church, that is a major drain on, not drain is not the right word, but you put a lot of time into that church.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while, but it's something that I really felt very important. To give you an idea, I retired from the electric company here 19 years ago to actually be doing what I'm doing and to be able to establish what God wants to see done in this region or in this territory. And as we've been doing this, God actually gave us a building. So we have a pretty good sized facility here that's been able to carry what God wants to see done as we implement the strategies that God has placed on our hearts. We have an equipping school. We have prayer rooms. We have different things here, developing teams to be able to bring impact into our region or our territory here.
Well, you're also a certified coach. You're a teacher. You speak with the John Maxwell Organization. That's another great big responsibility where you meet a lot of people, probably most of them in search of breakthrough. If you get right down to it, they come to a coach because they need breakthrough.
Yes, sir. Well, I would tell you this. One of the things that's been very instrumental for me, I'll go this way. I joined the Air Force when I was back many years ago to see the world, saw Texas and New Mexico. I become a Christian and I've been all over the world and being able to teach on different principles, whether it be in the prophetic or the Father's heart, the different areas that being able to bring impact in the different cultures across the nations of the earth. So it's really been such a, I feel very honored to be able to do what I'm doing and to bring impact into people's lives.
So do you spend a lot of your ministry in the prophetic? Do you feel like you move in the gifts and you're prophetic in how God shows you where he needs you to go?
Yes, sir. One of the things we've been able to do is we've worked with a corporation here, that matter of fact, a very close friend of mine. When we would come into his office, him and I would spend time together at lunchtime and just praying for his organization. He didn't come to our church. He actually goes to a different church. But we were able to help partner with him and pray for his corporation and actually expose some people within his organization for stealing money. And got an anonymous letter from somebody outside the company that somebody stole some of the things that were truly pertinent for his organization. So the prophetic has really been a very foundational thing of our ministry. But also, when I worked at the training department, when I worked for the electric company, I was in charge of the training department. So our training is very critical to be able to help impact and raise people up to do what we do.
So you understand training from a business sense and a coach. And so as you come into your church organization, you bring that gift of training with you.
Yes, sir. My boss, when I worked for the company, she said to me this, she said, "Pat, what you're going to learn here in the training department, you're going to take back to your church." And I thought to myself, a donkey can talk. I guess she can kind of give you some information. So it was really critical for me to listen to what she was saying and apply the principles when I got back.
Yes. And it worked for you, didn't it?
Yes, sir. It really did. It helped apply
a lot of things. John Maxwell to the mix, and you've got a really good training back.
Expanded the whole thing. It's really been quite interesting.
Let's focus on the prophetic just for another minute, Pastor. If you think about what God's been saying, what have you heard? What themes are repeating over and over again in the prophetic as you minister to your flock, as you minister outside the church? What is God continuing to say to you that needs to be repeated?
I think it's a lot where don't look at the times that we're in, but look at what God's doing. And I really believe that God is impacting the culture to express the kingdom, to reveal his heart and his power. And I really believe that as we enter into, God's going to unlock a revelation to where we'll see the greatness of our God begin to move through territories and to expand and to bring about breakthrough into people's lives. So healings, deliverance, and salvations come in multiple ways across the nation and the nations of the earth.
Well, you've written that part of your mandate, your personal leadership mandate, is to connect the churches there in the state of Illinois for the purposes of bringing reformation and transformation. That's a big apostolic call.
Yes, sir. We put together a prayer network. We put together an Awakening Reformation prayer network, which actually connects the church. I was asked by my oversight to start running through the state to do conferences, which we did last year. I did 5 conferences last year in the state of Illinois, which really takes a major toll. But God blessed every one of these meetings. I was blown away by the participation and the support from the communities. And it really helped bring about a greater connecting of what God wants to do in our state to see the kingdom of God advance throughout our land.
So how's your progress in connecting that many churches from Peoria to Chicagoland to Northwest, Northeast, the Springfield area, Southern Illinois? Oh, there's a lot of differences among that state as you travel. Yep. How have you done in weaving that thread together?
Matter of fact, I just got back from Southern Illinois just 2 weeks ago, which is 5 hours from here. Yeah. And we're able to do a prayer assignment and do some things down there. But what I've learned how to do is God really helped me this way, because I was never like this, but to connect pastors that have the same vision or focus that are willing to partner as a team, and then begin to start expanding. And then from that, they know people that help me to connect with other people. And so we're able to build this linking together as a team to be able to see the goodness of God come in our land, or to change culture, to change the paradigm of what church structure is.
So do you believe the state is achieving breakthrough? Are you getting there?
We're getting there. I believe because of the fact the partnership with people, we're finding a remnant of people throughout our state that are willing and to come into agreement with what God is wanting to do. And when you find that, you begin to start connecting the pieces together where you can raise a voice for change for sure.
How about our listeners that are in the Illinois area? Just kind of an impromptu question. Is it something that the populace can do, the congregants, pew sitters, those folks that are parts of churches, can they do something to hasten the breakthrough?
I believe there's prayer networks in our state that they could connect to. If they call our office, they'll find out I can connect them up with prayer networks across our state. And I've got a very close friend.
Do you have an online connection?
Online? We don't have an online connection as of right now, just when they connect through the people that I have a relationship with.
Okay. Well, I want to be able to get them access to you if that's an important thing. What about your own church website? Can they find you there?
Yes, sir. They can find anything on our website, kicministries.org, and they'll find everything they need to have right there.
All right. And that'll give them what they need. And they could, even if they're living in Alton or over Edmondville, they can connect with you and go from there.
We have people watching our church services from as far away as Georgia. So we're building a stream to be able to put some things out, which has really been pretty good.
Well, I'm going to have to get on and watch you then.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Is it okay to heckle you online? Or
well, you won't heckle me. Whoever's monitoring the back.
They'll get a good laugh, huh?
Yeah, well, they'll get a good laugh.
I wouldn't think of breaking the move of the Holy Spirit, brother.
Yeah.
So we've been talking a lot about that word breakthrough, and it means different things to different people. So why don't we start going deep here, taking a couple more shovelfuls deep, and understand, first of all, how do you know when you've had a breakthrough?
Let me do it this way. To help people to understand, they need to know who they are, to know whose they are, to know what they are.
That's good.
And when you learn to know whose you are, a lot of things in life, people don't have a relational identity to grasp on to the foundation of who they are. And then from that place of recognizing who they are, when you come into the relationship with the Father, then you know whose you are. And from that begins to unlock the identity to know what you are. And I really believe that when you really recognize your identity or the born identity, it helps you to begin to start stepping into a fuller understanding of your purpose. Let me do it this way. Okay. Most people are educated, whether a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, or teacher, or whatever. The reality of it is they're educated in a paradigm to function in. And when you add the element of being able to recognize as a son or daughter of the King, now you begin to accelerate into a higher level to bring a greater place of influence and impact into the territory that God has given you assignment in to fulfill the purpose of what God wants to do through your life.
So we start with who you are, we go to whose, and then what?
Yes, sir.
Or does it start at what?
No, you got to know who you are first.
Okay.
It's kind of like this. If you can walk into your refrigerator, or your children can walk into your refrigerator without any problem. But I can't walk into your house and tap into your refrigerator. You're kind of looking at me kind of funny and say, what you're doing. So when you know whose you are, you have access to whatever. And then from that, you know whose you are. And then you can have a paradigm to function from, because there's a relational identity for movement.
And then when you say what you are, how does that differ from who you are in the kingdom, that you're a child of the King?
Child of King. Let me ask you this. When you were growing up, what did you want to be when you grew up? The paradigm changes.
I wanted to play second base for the St. Louis Cardinals and beat the Cubbies. I am not kidding.
But there's a paradigm that you've learned to function from, because that was your idea, but God brought you into a different idea.
Yes, so, he did.
All right. So when you come into recognizing whose you are, it changes what you are.
Yes. Really well said, Pastor. I love it. So it sounds to me, just listening to you, just this little bit, that this is a pretty good formula for removing roadblocks in your home life.
Yes, sir.
Getting everyone in the home to know who we are and whose we are, and then what we are as a family unit.
Right. The word says, train up a child in the way it should go. Now, our paradigm is one thing. When you're recognizing what God is gifting each one to function from, you can help implement the strategies that God wants to do in their life. And then they can then begin to start fulfilling the purpose of what God's called them to be and do. And every one of us is different. I have a brother that's a clinical psychologist, and then me. And when we were growing up, my mom wanted to have a doctor and a priest. So she got exactly what she wanted, but not in the order that she wanted it in. So We're functioning in what God is calling us to, but we need to understand what God is trying to do through our lives to bring impact and culture.
So what gets in the way? The word is barriers or walls or blockades that really slow down breakthrough. We might make a little progress and then back up or run into a bigger wall. Is it a progression, or is it one of those Pong type games where all of a sudden you just get breakthrough?
I can maybe go this way. Part of the thing of our upbringing, you're a product of your environment. And so if we stay focused into a paradigm that functions from how we've been raised and the way that sometimes it's directed, until you recognize who you are and whose you are, that begins to start seeing opportunities for movement in a different course or a different direction. And then from that, it helps you to unlock the barriers. In other words, sometimes education get in the way. Sometimes people's perspective of who you are, what you only have the ability to accomplish because of how paradigms are set from culture. And so as even within the church setting, sometimes doctrinal things get in the way. Sometimes the stuff within churches minimized because you don't measure up to certain things. Mm-hmm. So barriers can be man-made structures that God is trying to help each one of us to come out from as we enter into a freedom or within the liberty of what Holy Spirit's empowering us in.
That's good. This will preach. So a question: in your church, do you lead your youth groups with this kind of training?
We lead our whole Sunday school. Our whole Sunday service is geared on to teach the younger generation to do exactly what we do, the adults. I'm looking at the younger generation, even the kids, the 5, 6, 7-year-olds, to pray for people to see healing come in their life or to minister to people. I'm excited about that. So I'd rather have that happen. And then the adults can watch their kids kind of outperform them.
Well, but do you teach these 3 W's at a very lower level?
Yes.
And try to get them to understand whose they are?
Yes. In every
because
capacity.
When we get to the what, we're on our way to finding our purpose, aren't we?
Yes,
if
sir.
We know our what, don't we start to get a clue about our purpose?
Yes, sir. You get a clear understanding when you know what, who, what, and where. When you understand all that, you can be able to enter into a truth that truly sets you into a motion for movement. Now, let me do it this way. Part of the people, they always measure themselves, as the word says, you measure yourself by yourself. In other words, we're always comparing ourselves to somebody else. Yeah. And when we let go of, I don't need to compare myself to your qualifications or to your what you've accomplished in your life, because that's what you have done. But if I will listen to what God is doing in my life, he'll help me to break into a new dimension, and I can begin to fulfill the purpose of what God wants to do through my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes great sense. I understand it. I'm trying to stay in the home level for a minute, because I always believe that if we can get this work done in our home, our church has less work to do.
Exactly.
And then we can get busy being the church. And don't have to do this primary training. Boot camp training that really this what we're talking about.
Exactly.
But as I teach, as I've pastored and teach, I try to approach, I think we're saying the same thing with different words. I try to approach purpose by understanding God's gifts. What gifts has he given you? Let's kind of get a clue from that. And then where you find peace.
Right.
Because I really wanted to play for the Cardinals. I'm not kidding. I really wanted to. I didn't have quite the talent to even make a college team. You know, I kind of suffered through high school teams, but you just didn't have the gifts.
Right.
Now, you've got to come to terms with the desire of my heart was to play ball.
Right.
That me and every other kid that grew up in St. Louis area, right?
Right.
Not every kid, but I just had this great strong desire that I still talk about, kiddingly always. But there's a symbol here of what people do as they're trying to find their purpose is they first look at what they want to do, the desire of their heart, without taking a gifts inventory.
Okay.
And that's what I tried to teach at ORU as a professor and most of my life in a college classroom, was to teach an awareness of gifts and gift development. Speak to that for me, Pastor.
All right, let me ask you this question, and I'll say it this way. One of the things we do here is we teach on passion. Okay. What is your passion? Because your passion is geared into your gift and they link together. So when you clearly understand the passion that drives you, the gifting then comes out of you. And then you can be able to see significance of what God wants to do through you. It's kind of like this. there's a whole lot of people that think they can teach or they can stand behind the plastic thing or the metal thing out there. And with all due respect, they can't. Yeah. And they have this, they have a desire that's a passion in some regard, but it's a false sense because they feel identity is functional in that. So when you help people to get a clear understanding of identity by focusing on a passion that produces results, you bring impact in every aspect of life.
Well, maybe they wanted the thing like standing behind a pulpit for totally the wrong reasons.
Yes, sir.
Thinking it was, you know, a place of promotion and esteem, and yet it's a humility and servanthood. And most people don't understand it and what the work is and what the calling is and how critical the grace to lead from behind that plastic thing must be there.
Yeah.
Without it, it's a lot of work. You're passionate. I don't have to ask you. I don't have to give you a litmus test for your passion. It's so obvious. You know, I think if you worked with me and we were together, you would see my passion.
It was for
abundant living in the kingdom. I want people to live as high as they can live in the kingdom of God, not in the world's kingdom, but in a kingdom-like manner.
Yes. When you help people to, it's kind of, you know, like when you're growing up, you get those aha moments where that little light clicks on.
Yes.
And they said, now I get this. For instance, let me do it this way. I have a guy, he's teaching on Jack Frost, The Father's Heart. And so I've asked, because I had the experience with Jack Frost before he passed away and all that. So I've asked this one guy at our church and said, would you be willing to teach this? So I gave him the book and said, look, just kind of follow through. I sat down with him the other day because he's been teaching it for about a month and a half. And I said, how has this impacted your life? And man, you ought to have seen the light click in, because he said, I understand now what, because he was raised in a Baptist structure. He says, I get this, because it changed his whole paradigm of understanding what God was trying to do in his life and being able to help communicate it to others where others can begin to start seeing something because it's resonating out of him.
Grad school can really kick up your passion.
Yes.
It kicks you out. One or the other.
Yeah. You know. One way or the other.
Theology, and you're a student of your trade and well-educated and heady. But at the same time, we didn't know that we were also under a transfusion of our passion away from wanting to play baseball to wanting to be effective in the kingdom as a teacher. I've been a teacher.
Right.
And that's why I taught at university level for 30 years and ministered and pastored for 10 and did a lot of other things, but all because of an awareness of the passion and what I could do with a gift. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. When you understand, that goes back to the who, what, and where.
Yes.
When you understand, then you begin to start stepping into an identity. I really believe without any reservation, let me do it this way. Bishop Hammond, who was very instrumental in my life.
Good man.
He said to me, he said that when we were at a meeting one time, he turned around and looked at me and said, Pat, write the book, the book, the book, the book. And I said, what are you talking about? And I just got done finishing my master's thesis on manifest sons of God. And so he said, but don't use that title because people will get mad. Use a different title. So him and I were over in New Zealand. And I asked him, I said, what about kingdom influence through sonship? And he said, sounds like a plan. So it really helps people to understand what you just said. When you know, when you walk in your identity, you become influential in your destiny. And you begin to impact everything around
you. You said that was too big to say that fast. Slow it down in 33 and a third. You and I could talk in analog language. Slow it down to 33 and a third and say that again.
Well, I won't come out the same.
That's okay.
When you understand, when Bishop Hammond told me to write the book, he said, Pat, write the book. There was a prophetic word that came. So I wrote the book, Manifest Sons of God, which was my master's thesis. And he said, I need you to change the title to Kingdom Influence with Sonship. And so when I did that, what the whole reference point is in that book, it helps be able to connect the significance of identity to take you from an orphan thinking into a true sense of sonship.
Yes.
Most of the church functions from an orphan process. And when you miss the opportunities to be able to have encounters as a son or a daughter, you come into that place of relational identity that begins to give you the ability to walk as a true son or daughter of the king.
That's the part I wanted to hear again. That is so good.
that impacts, that gives you the ability for
it. You have that in one of your books?
Yes, sir. It's in the manifest. It's in the Kingdom Influence of Sonship
book. Say the title of the book again, and I assume it's still on Amazon.
They can get it on Amazon, but it's Kingdom Influence Through Sonship. Is what the name of that book is.
I know that resonates with my audience as well as it about lit me up and jumped me out of my seat. That is really fire breathing preaching there. It's good.
Yes.
Good. If we can walk that out. So have we really hit on the key then, defining purpose? Are we right in the middle of it?
I really believe we're right in the middle of it. When you really understand the value of your identity,
yes,
then you can truly walk as a son. And then you begin to start understanding your destiny. If somebody would have told me 10 years ago or 20 years ago that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, I'd have told them you're crazy. And so what I do today, I enjoy it. I really do. And this is, like you said earlier, this is my life. This is who I am. And I live it and I enjoy doing what I
do. You don't have any trouble getting up, do you?
No, sir, I do not.
So again, to understand it, that we can't put identity related to our identity is not our job. It's not a resume. Right. I've always said, let me have a business card and a resume in my burial casket just so I can introduce myself to the Lord with my proper vita.
Your credential? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And do you know who I am, Lord? Why are we going through all this stuff? Let me just get right to it. You know, and I'm doing that for effect, obviously, to teach it. But the key to finding this purpose is not to be looking at what other people say we are. And, you ought to be doing this. You're a fine guitar player. You should be leading worship. Well, I don't know. I haven't heard that from the Lord. If people begin to define us, or how about this? The worst case is limit us, script us into another job, into another performance. Parents make that mistake all the time of scripting their kids into something they think they should be doing. I know you sort of touched on this, but touch on how identity and job performance or job doing is not really what we're talking about in identity.
Job performance is one thing that reflects an ability or a talent, but it does not always reflect a passion or purpose or what you need to function in, or the identity that God's given you the credibility to operate in. And let me do this. I'll tell a story this way so it can connect it. I used to be a supervisor for the Southern Division, which was substation operating people, about 25 people. And it was a geographical area, but I was a supervisor. I just didn't think I was really qualified to function in that to the level that I really felt I could function in. I got a phone call at home and told me to put my name in for a different job, which was the training department. And once I got the opportunity to go to the training department, everything began to explode in my life. So I functioned based upon a parameter of what man thought I could function from. And when I was transitioned into the gifting of what God is doing in my life, where then I managed training for over 1,000 people, you begin to start looking at things in a whole different paradigm. And it was one of the most successful things. I enjoyed that to no end and was good at what I did. So,
well, in Maxwell words, we don't want to be a round peg in a square hole. I want the round hole.
No.
And so does God.
Yep.
Right. You know, that's what he wants for us. That's why he made us the way we are. And we've just got to press on after how God made us, making sure we do everything we can to find out who God says we are. How do you help people with that as a pastor, as a leader of men and women? How do you help people find that?
That's the courses that we teach when we talk about the passion part. Okay. When we help bring clarity in where people come in, we have people come in classes all the time. I talked with somebody this morning, said, tell me what you really want to do when you grow up. What is your passion? What is your desire? What has God gifted you in? And when you start asking those questions, I guarantee you they stop and think, because it ain't something that they can just kind of roll out. They got to think about it, because in the old order, it's always been this and this and this, or what do you want to do? Or this is how this, because it's been a paradigm that's functional from a church structure, but God is shifting it to where we begin to start seeing how do we impact the culture outside the four walls of the church. And so therefore you have to really understand that this thing is a whole new paradigm to move, to bring influence in the areas that we've never walked in before.
Apostle Pat, we're living in a time now where one of the things I teach most is that the enemy's quickest way to make us ineffective is to help us lose our focus. Gives us shiny objects in our lives, gives us technological distractions. We are living in the era of distraction, as the public enemy number one of a spiritual man or woman, that we see things now and we know who we are and we've got a pretty good idea of our purpose and our calling. And yet in that place, we can easily get distracted by that shiny object that we might have a little gifting in, and we can just slide over there and be us and help it. And so what I'm going to ask you to help us wrap up with and get focused on is being focused, being able to understand the death to our ministry because we focus on the wrong things.
All right. So I would do it this way. How much time do you spend with God compared to how much time you spend with man?
Yeah.
And there was a statement that was used many years ago, and it was this: hours with God makes effective minutes with man. And so there's a paradigm that I was taught many, many years ago. And so when you spend the time with God, it helps you to be influential with man. And so if you're missing something, as I look at it this way, I take communion every day and I spend time in worship every day. I get up and read the word every day. I spend time in prayer. Maintains a focus. I had a friend of mine that was one of the mentors in my life. He wouldn't take a meeting until afternoon. He would spend the morning in hours and time in prayer and spending time with God before he even have a meeting. So I think we get focused on an agenda of what man thinks we need to be locked in instead of focusing on our personal perspective or relationship to the Father. And if we'll do that, if we'll manage that, if we'll focus on that, I think things will change. When I was working full time, I spent time driving in the car. I'd spend time worship. I'd spend time praying. I'd spend time. Yeah. I mean, what else you got to do? You might as well pray. Yeah. So, you know, your car knows where it's going. So you just got to, you get there. But it helps you to bring clarity and bring in, helps you to stay focused and stay centered. And you're not easily distracted by it. I'll give you a personal story so it can connect it. There was one time that I put in for a job, the transition, and the Lord told me, he said, Pat, I don't want you to take that job. I said, Father, would you let me go through the process so I understand the content? And he says, I'll let you go through it, but if they offer it to you, I want you to refuse it. Wow. I said, okay. So at the end of the day, they called me. They said, Pat, we want to offer you this job. We're going to give you a 7% raise. We're going to give you a signing bonus. We're going to give you a company car. And after they got done talking to me, I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to refuse the job. There was silence on the other end of the phone. They said, why are you doing this? I said, because God said to say no. And so I said, I had to say no. I mean, the distractions of the world always are trying to entice you. That was then within a short period of time. That's when I was offered the training job, the training department, and they gave me a signing bonus, gave me a car, but they didn't give me anything else. But it was one of the best jobs I could have ever, because I did what God wanted me to do.
Well, there's so much peace in that place, isn't there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, before we go, I want you to address this great podcast you have on the Charisma Podcast Network called Breakthrough to Purpose. What a great title. Tell us where you're going, what we can expect to hear in that podcast. And let me first of all say thank you so much for doing that show and being a part of the network, but mostly for bringing that kind of content to Charisma. We sure appreciate you, love you. And tell us about Breakthrough to Purpose.
Well, I feel very honored to be a part of the Charisma Media. I'm very honored to be able to share that. And one of the things that the Lord really, I feel, wants me to be able to do is help people to be able to recognize the hindrances, the obstacles, and the situations of life, where they can begin to start seeing how the scripture and how the word and apply personal things that have happened in me to where I can share the things together, where they can apply something in their life or see, recognize what might be the stumbling block for them, and where they can begin to step out from, or to step through, or to see the barriers being restricted, the barriers that are restricting them broken, so they can enter into a truth. So I share different principles, even if some of this stuff on Sunday morning, I'll kind of add it in or mix it in so people can kind of connect the pieces to where they recognize the reality of what God's doing in them. And so they can see what God wants to do through them. So it's a true opportunity to experience something where they break out into a clear understanding of recognizing God's purpose, plan, and destiny for their life.
So, Apostle, Pastor, we've got a lot of people listening to this show today, and throughout the next several years, people will hear this show. And they're going to say, Pastor, I really want to break through. Would you give them just a word to move forward with in the instant that they hear this? Then they say to the Lord, I want breakthrough. What would you counsel them to do next?
My question is, are you ready for the breakthrough?
Assume that they said, yes, Pastor. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Then I would say, get your shoes on and put on your wings and get ready to soar, because God's going to take you from your place of where your paradigm functions in to a whole new level of understanding of the greatness of God, and to cause you to accelerate into a truth to where you can begin to expand into a whole new way and bring impact and influence of what God's trying to do and work through your life for change for your tomorrow.
You're saying this prayer, this faith statement is going to lead to the wings.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
I believe that with all my heart. I look at it this way. If you're willing, God will do it. But you got to be willing to step into a truth. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunities that truly will cause impact in people's lives and to change the culture that they've been wrapped in as they experience the breakthrough of your purpose, breakthrough of your promise, and breakthrough of your destiny for the goodness of God and the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Pastor, I can't let you off this show without blessing us with a verse, a scripture that kind of ties all this together, or doesn't. It's just a verse that you're walking with today that you want to send to our audience as we close the show.
I'll say it this way, and this is the thing that resonates with me big time. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, all creation is waiting with eager expectations for the manifestation of sons of God to be revealed. Get ready, because God's about ready to change your life.
Get ready. I'm ready, brother.
Thank you.
I just want to come up higher.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you so much on behalf of Charisma and certainly my producer, Natalie. I'm so thankful for what we heard here today. You changed our lives. You can't hear this message and say, okay, well, that's nice. Who's next? You know, you have to respond to this. You know, you're going to respond to it one way or the other.
Yes,
you're going to say, I like my misery. I'm going to stay right here. Or, you know, help me to break through. Yep. That's it. That's the two choices.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, people sometimes like to live in their mess because they're comfortable. Yeah. So we just need to help people to get out of it.
I don't like comfort. I know I get in trouble when I'm comfortable.
Well, let me do it this way. Get ready to be uncomfortably comfortable in God.
Okay. I love it. Thank you so much for giving up your afternoon to prepare and to be with us. And the man of God you are, I know you're so busy. So go do what you need to do and bless people. Keep carrying this message. Keep writing. Keep speaking it. Travel all over the world with this message, brother. It'll preach.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be a part of the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we like to say to everyone at the end of our shows, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I think you heard a great key to abundance today. Know who you are, whose you are, and what you are. You do that, and I bet you're going to find yourself living an abundant life. God bless you all.